more.
I'm Monica, a single mom of one little boy. After what my husband put me through, forgiveness seems very far-fetched. It's hard for me to reconcile how a Christian could do what he did.
And that's one of the things that we cover here. All this month, our theme is forgiveness. I'm Robert Beeson.
And I'm Kimberly Mitchell, and we are so glad you have joined us.
That's right. So as we're talking about forgiveness this month, we're very fortunate to have our guest, Brian Harden, with us as we discuss this idea. Why forgiveness? A biblical perspective.
My husband, ex-husband, tells me the right thing to do is to just forgive him. And I feel like that's what he's banking on. I feel like he has manipulated what the Bible says to suit his needs to feel better.
I'm so excited to have my friend in the studio with us today to get some fresh insight. But before we get started, before we say one thing about the topic, I want to make sure that we say this, and that is to you single parent listening. You just need to know that you are not alone. There is hope.
Absolutely. I also want you to know this podcast was created by solo parents as a place to begin to heal, to be transformed, because you know what? This is a difficult season, which Robert and I know very well. And sometimes we tackle some tough stuff, and today's probably going to be one of those tough questions. But like Robert just said, we will always end in a place of hope. That's what Jesus has promised us.
Is it real? Mm-hmm. So welcome to the Solo Parent Society podcast. Okay, so in general, I know that we all know that the Bible talks a lot about forgiveness and our need to forgive.
Yeah.
So as we explore forgiveness this month, we felt it important to take a look at what the Bible says about it. Mm-hmm. We've talked about all kinds of ways to look at forgiveness, but at the end of the day, it really matters what the Bible says about it, right?
Absolutely.
So, Kim, you were brought up in the church, yep. just like I was. Yep. You were a preacher's kid.
Yep.
I was a missionary kid.
Yep.
And I know that we knew that we were supposed to forgive, right? Uh-huh. And that the Bible says that that's the right thing to do.
Yeah.
I felt almost shamed a lot of times into not forgiving. I don't know if that was your experience, but because we know what the Bible says about it.
Yeah.
But I almost kind of did it because I was expected to.
Yeah.
Was that your...
Yeah. Well, yeah, because really some people need to be punched.
Forgiving doesn't mean they don't get punched.
Don't want to forgive. But I totally get what you're saying. Right. There's an expectation, not just on preacher's kids and missionaries' kids, but just maybe in the church. Like, just do this. Just do it. Well, why do I have to do that?
Right.
I don't want to do that.
And so in this episode, we're not like refuting that.
No.
But we're actually going to try to take a deep look into what it means to forgive based on what the Bible says. And not just because our parents said the Bible said.
Yes.
I guess in some senses, this is, well, because Brian says it says that. But we, like,
does God say? What does the word say?
What does the word say? And we would encourage you to absolutely look into what the Bible says for yourself. But in the meantime, as we're here, we're going to discuss what the Bible says about forgiveness. But listen, before we get into it, if you're doing something using your hands, like you're driving, or if you're running through the streets of a Spanish town being pursued by bulls, you don't want to be skewered by them, right, Kim?
Correct. You don't.
So don't worry about stopping what you're doing. Keep running. Don't let those bulls get you, because rest assured, everything that we talk about, whether you're driving or running from bulls, will be in our show notes.
Yes.
There you go. So now that we've got that out of the way, I'd like to introduce you guys to a friend of mine named Brian Harden. Mm-hmm. He is the vision and the voice of the Daily Audio Bible. With over 20 million downloads a year. That is two above us, Kim.
That's 2 million above us.
Which is absolutely incredible. He's also an ordained minister, an accomplished record producer with more than 100 albums to his credit, a best-selling author, including, I think it's his recent work, which is The One-Year Adventure of God of Our Story. But probably more than any of that, he's my friend. And so, Brian, welcome to our show.
Thank you. Yes, it's good to be here with you guys. Thanks for having me. It's an honor.
It's so good to have you here. You know, so many people know you, not only from your books and from all the music that you've produced and speaking around the country, but also because of the Daily Audio Bible. Mm-hmm. There's so many thousands of people that listen to that every day, and they see you as this biblical authority, which you are. But I don't know that everybody knows that you yourself faced some marital heartbreak and found yourself as a solo parent yourself.
Yeah.
Which is why I'm so glad that you're here, because not only you're speaking from a biblical perspective, but you're also, you resonate with the life of a solo parent. Mm-hmm. Walk us through a little bit of what that time of life, that solo parent journey was for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, so it's a long time back, and it almost feels like another life at this point. But man, there are pieces of that story that I think, you know, they're always going to remain fresh.
Yeah.
And I definitely went through a season where, due to circumstances, I found myself a solo parent for a couple of years,
wow,
raising up my little boys.
Mm.
And before my wife, Jill, came into the picture, we definitely had to figure it out. There were no resources that I can remember, like what's happening here, mm-hmm, at Solo Parent Society. I didn't have any place to plug into, really, to, yeah, kind of work through or talk about or even understand what I was going. So I remember that time, that season, just being upside down.
Mm. Yeah.
It just felt very sideways to me. It felt like only partially my life.
Yeah. Mm,
yeah. You know what? When I was a single mom for 8 years. There was nothing like this either.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you just feel very alone and not quite,
yeah,
sure which way to go. And you're trying to be super person and put on a brave front, but it's pretty tough.
Let me ask you something, Brian. Were you surprised by becoming a solo parent? I mean, obviously, all of us are to a certain degree. You don't say I do with any intention of getting divorced or, mm-hmm, you know, a spouse dying or whatever. Did it happen all of a sudden, or did you, mm-hmm, see it coming? What was your experience with that?
Like, no, my experience was very sudden, mm-hmm, out of nowhere, unexpected, very shocking.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's why when I think back, it's like, yeah, that tipped life upside down, and it took quite a while to feel like there was any kind of equilibrium. And I can remember in those seasons, like, just robo-dialing anybody who would talk.
Yeah, mm-hmm, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, you have one conversation, and then you just start that same conversation over again and over.
Yeah.
But there wasn't really any kind of resource that I could go, here's how we're moving forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, you can commiserate with your friends and they can try to commiserate with you, but, mm-hmm, they're on your side. And so they're just kind of really trying to pump you up and give you energy and stuff, but it's not necessarily what you need to get forward.
Or is it, it's not necessarily someone that they've walked through themselves.
Right.
And so it can lead to us feeling completely isolated.
So how then, like, walk us through your personal steps towards forgiveness after betrayal. Like, what did forgiving look like for you, especially when it's kind of like, surprise, you know?
Yeah, you know, I have a totally different perspective now, mm-hmm, than I did then. Forgiveness wasn't like an actual category that I'm like, okay, I need to move toward this. Everything just felt upside down,
mm-hmm,
and I felt like this is going to take some time.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't really have any kind of apparatus to go, okay, you're in shock. It's okay to be in shock right now.
Right.
Be in shock right now. That's what you're going through. And that will lead to this next thing, which might be anger or resentment or bitterness. Mm. And then you will have to move through that season. And then maybe, you know, you begin to migrate toward release and forgiveness. Mm. And so I just didn't have anybody to coach me through that. So if I think back, I can say those were the steps that happened.
Mm-hmm.
Very confusing steps to go through, right? Mm-hmm. Because maybe you get to this point where you're feeling accepting and you're trying to move past bitterness and trying to move toward forgiveness, but then you take 10 steps backward, mm-hmm, then you feel like you're failing, and so you have that heaped upon you, and then you just kind of keep going. So it's like a fits and starts thing, and that was my experience. I couldn't have labeled this forgiveness. I would say it was a process of coming to a point of open-handed release,
mm-hmm,
knowing that what's buried in my heart, like this bitterness,
mm-hmm,
and anger, and betrayal in my heart, is I'm never going to get out of here. Like, this is the rest of my life if I don't find a way around or through this.
Mm.
Yeah. Wow. I love that you read the Bible.
Thank you.
Like, for all of us.
You should read the Bible.
I'm just going to listen to Brian read the Bible. I do read the Bible, but I love that.
I'm just kidding.
This is what you do. Like, so from the Bible, from a biblical perspective, what is the importance of forgiveness?
Oh, it's like there's so many places, uh-huh, to go here, but I think of Jesus.
Yes.
And I think of the Sermon on the Mount in the book of Matthew, which is like the central teaching of Jesus' teachings.
Mm-hmm.
And we know all kinds of pieces of that teaching. And we know one key piece of that teaching, which is the Lord's Prayer.
Yeah.
And we pray, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And we know that. But when the Lord's Prayer ends, the very next thing Jesus says is, basically, if you forgive, you will be forgiven. And if you don't, then neither will your Father in heaven forgive you. That's coming right out of the Lord's Prayer. Like, he takes maybe a breath and then says that. It's like right attached to the Lord's Prayer. And so right out of the gate, we see that it's a fundamental reality in the life of faith and in the human journey of faith. We could go all over. We could say Jesus is being nailed to a cross asking his Father to forgive his executioners. We could go to the Apostle Paul saying, you know, I've been abandoned and I'm here in prison and no one's left but Luke. And so many people did me so much damage at my trial. May that not be held to their account. Like, we could go example after example, or we could go Old Testament and go into covenantal language and realize that the children of Israel were constantly an adulterate, like a betraying nation to God. And what was God's response? Come back, like return to me. Why are we doing it this way? So forgiveness is, I think it's ubiquitous, actually. I think it's a part of the story. And when we understand that it's a part of the story and an access to freedom for us, then we can see it all throughout the Bible.
It's so hard to do, though, you know, because a lot of times, like we were saying earlier, Kim, you know, if you're brought up in the way of Christ or in the church, it's kind of assumed, well, that this is kind of a, you know, a paramount thing is you forgive people, you just forgive it. And so we have this intellectually, but it's so hard to do when you're still sometimes living in hurt. I think about those examples that you gave of Paul or Jesus on the cross. They didn't wait to feel better about the situation when they were forgiving. And that's a really hard pill to swallow as humans, especially in our Western culture, because we're so consumed and entitled to, you know, have comfort. And when someone wrongs us, like an ex betrays us, or maybe we feel like God has betrayed us because, you know, our spouse has passed or something, it's an exercise, it's a discipline, right, to walk into forgiveness, because it doesn't mean that the pain goes away or that that the wrong is righted, if that's even a word. So I think it's fascinating. So in those examples, Brian, based on the Bible, what are there steps to forgiving that are clear?
Yeah, I am not typically, here's the three steps that you need to take or the 10 steps that you need to take person, at least when it relates to the Bible, although spoken lots of messages that way.
Yeah.
Forgiveness is so all throughout it that it's sort of difficult to make a list, because what if you get to step three and then you take a step back? And what if you get to step five and then you're back at step one again? Because at least in my experience, forgiveness kind of works that way. You can feel on top of the world, like you're free on one day, and then the very next day or that same evening, you're just like, what happened? I feel like I'm back at square one again. And so I think a lot of times when we build steps, we build a way for us to fail. And that makes it worse. Where forgiveness, you know, when I grew up, and I'm a pastor's son too, just like you. And so we're ministry kids here. I thought it was about stuffing it, like pretending it didn't happen and just ignoring or kind of just, let's just get past this. Let's just move past this.
And say the words, I forgive you. Or
whatever you got to do, you know, just, let's just, and that's not really forgiveness though. That's just like ignoring what's inside of you, which I think makes cognitive dissonance inside your soul where you're like, I'm trying to do what God's told me to. I can't do that. I don't feel that. And I think we're just maybe misinterpreting what forgiveness actually does for us, which, I mean, there's a reason it's a command, because it is a doorway into freedom from this thing. The bitterness or the betrayal or whatever it is we're holding in our hearts, whatever the experience is that we've had, if we stuff that, then what it becomes is like poison in our, like it's the mold that's growing in the basement that we're ignoring. Even though we're going to have to tear our house down in the end. You know, whereas forgiveness is an opportunity to say, I know what happened. I acknowledge what happened. I feel what happened. I'm in what happened. And I am well aware that I can't, like, this is going to kill me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so we reach a place where we open-handedly give that to God. And then it's over and over and over and over and over again. Huh. Because, like I said, I think forgiveness is ubiquitous in our lives and in the Bible. And so it's over and over and over again. But we're taking the steps to freedom.
Right.
Yeah.
And I don't know that a three-step plan works for everybody.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I
don't know that what I've gone through is what you've gone through. And if I tell you, here's how I got to a place of forgiveness, that would work for you at all.
Right. I think the point is the starting point you said, and I think that's, you're exactly right. I don't know that there is a three-step or a five-step plan or whatever. But like you so rightly said, it's one of those things that we need to pay attention to. All this month, we've been talking about forgiveness and we've had some very insightful conversations about it. And one of the things that comes to mind is, I think it was Jake Smith that was talking about how if you've been wronged and you stuff it down, hurt turns into resentment. Mm-hmm. Resentment turns into revenge. It's just kind of a thread that happens. And it doesn't mean that you're going to go out and, you know, key someone's car or like flatten their tires. But in a way, it's just this bitterness. If you don't deal with it, if you don't seek or move towards forgiveness, it is toxic. And there is very much a gradual step that it takes you to a destructive place. And so I think you're exactly right in that. And that's, I mean, it's been my, I guess my point is that that's been a common theme this month, is that
absolutely.
We have to work towards forgiveness because forgiveness is freedom. Mm-hmm. So knowing that there's no step-by-step, what did it look like for you? Let's just take, for instance, the hurt that you encountered from your marriage. I mean, what, or even a recent thing, it doesn't have to be that, but what does forgiveness, the process of forgiving, look like to you? And what part did forgiveness play in your healing personally? Mm.
Well, I think like I was starting to say just a second ago, I think forgiveness is the doorway to freedom. And I didn't have the language to say that if I go way back, but in my life since, because forgiveness doesn't seem to go away. Like you can have this tragic situation that makes you a solo parent, but and you can work through that and be forgiving, but that doesn't mean you're done forgiving for the rest of your life.
Like,
it's a necessary everyday process usually. And so it's hard to say, here is the process. I know my process as a solo parent was shock and awe and, you know, upside down, like feeling like you're in a washing machine on spin or something where it's just nothing makes sense. And so I don't know that anybody actually is thinking of forgiveness during that time. That's where the seeds of bitterness and resentment and rage and anger, like this, somehow I've got to level this. Somehow they've got to hurt like I'm hurting. Somehow I've got to get justice and retribution.
Yeah.
If that's the path that we're going to take, you just alluded to this, then we will slowly, step by step, chain ourselves to a life we don't want to live. Mm-hmm. We will end up somewhere that we didn't ever want to go.
Yeah.
Choosing the path of forgiveness is just as slow. It's just productive. It's going to lead us into freedom. It's going to lead us to a place where we have some hope. Mm. And that's how it was for me. It was, again, I couldn't have labeled these transitions then.
Right.
I didn't have solo parent society or anything else to give that language. But that is what happened. Absolute shock. Bitterness, anger, justice, acceptance, then back to justice, then back to acceptance, then back to justice, then back to acceptance until it's like this back and forth, something's got to give because I'm trapped here. And this can't be the rest of my life. And so you kind of get to the end of yourself or the end of your rope or whatever. And usually people are crying out to God during the whole process and have never felt closer to God in the process, but we're still holding until we can actually let go.
Yeah.
And that's different for everybody. Different people go through, I mean, there's such, my trauma pales in comparison to some of the stories that are out there right now, that are listening right now. Mm-hmm. And so my process is traumatic, even though it was deeply traumatic for me. Other people are going to have different processes and maybe need counseling, somebody professional to walk alongside them toward this pathway to forgiveness. But I think we have to accept that it's a category, accept that it's going to be necessary, and accept the fact that if we don't, we're going to end up where we never wanted to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even though we're in that place right now, we're not going to move toward life. We're going to move toward death,
yeah,
ultimately in our soul.
What was that? Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
No, you first.
Sorry. We're being very Canadian here.
I am.
Sorry.
Sorry.
Have you forgiven your ex?
I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, I think so. It's not, it's decades ago for me now.
Yeah.
And so it's not a place that I dwell or linger. Mm-hmm. And so many of the circumstances that were deeply involved in that, you know, were how my children were being affected.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there's just a whole lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Wrapped up into that. But, and if you move a couple of days in the future, your kids are grown now and, yes, you know, you've kind of worked through all of these things. And so it's not a category. That specific incident or that specific season isn't like something that I dwell on or think about often. So, and I do feel like I've gone through all of the steps to kind of go, is there mold in my soul? Like, is there poison still here somewhere that's going to crack open and get into my spiritual bloodstream? You know, am I going to get sick? I think that I've done multiple passes in my life toward trying to root that stuff out intentionally once I understood the power of forgiveness. This is difficult, maybe the hardest thing ever, but it is a doorway to freedom.
And how have you, I guess you probably just answered that, but how have you seen the forgiveness of that situation? How has that aided your healing and even the person that you are now? Is it just the freedom from it, or is it?
Yeah, I think freedom and hope.
Yeah.
And I think when any time that I'm holding on to resentment or betrayal, any time, it doesn't have to be just that one season, any time that I find myself in that scenario where it triggers those feelings, you know, and comes up, I now have a little bit of an understanding about what's going. I know where I have to end up. It may take me a while to get there, but I know the path out is going to be to release it, to release it to God. And that does not mean don't acknowledge what happened.
Right.
Or that doesn't mean don't feel all that happened. Like, it all happened. So, and it is attached to things. We shouldn't stuff them. But to move in a direction of release to God, I don't know any other way. I mean, this is what Jesus did as he's dying.
Yeah.
So then we're supposed to be like him, like Christ-like. And so this is the model.
It's so hard to sometimes release.
Yeah.
Like, or sometimes I feel like, okay, God, I give this to you. I think kind of a little bit, I'll hold on to this little heart right here. Or like, Jesus, I trust you. Or here, have it, but we really aren't fully releasing. And I think a lot of soul parents are, from what I feel like we've heard, and even like, I feel like I've totally forgiven my ex for my stuff, but it's the stuff with my kids and watching the hurt that they've been through. That part is hard.
Yeah.
And that part's hard to release. So like, how do we get through the hard parts of the forgiving process without giving up and losing hope? How do we really actually release things to Jesus? Is that a dumb question?
I don't think it's
because I've struggled with that sometimes. Right now in the world, like, not even talking about solo parenting, but just the weight of the world.
Yeah.
I am struggling with Jesus. I know this doesn't surprise you. I know you walk before and behind and you are here. And I just give back the weight I'm carrying to you, but I still feel like I'm carrying it and not releasing it.
Honestly, I'm back to the fact that this is ubiquitous. This isn't something, like, we keep trying, like, a lot of times we're categorizing forgiveness as an event that happens.
Yes, you're right.
When it's like breath to our soul, like it's an in and out, and we're constantly involved in one way or another in forgiveness. And once we understand our own personal life, how our soul works and what those patterns are for us, then we can repeat those steps if we want to make them steps, because they're steps that we've taken. But man, you know, I could dredge up all of that stuff and go, oh, maybe there's some more forgiveness, but I'm probably going to need to be forgiven by my wife today. I'm probably going to say something that she didn't like, or she's going to say something that I don't like, and I'm going to have to forgive. Like, it's never going to go away. That's a much, much smaller thing, but it's still forgiveness. And so once we realize this is an actual category that I have to live in all of the time, then I think we do begin to learn our own, like, the terrain of our own heart and how that works for us.
Yeah.
and just keep moving through the process. But I just, I'm sure there are way smarter people that you've had on that are that can give like better steps. But no, this is my personal experience.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's why we, you know, we wanted to talk to you about it because you know, from a biblical perspective, I mean, you've read the Bible now 16 years. I mean, besides your own reading, but you've read it aloud for 16 years mm-hmm. now with Daily Audio Bible. And we would be remiss if we didn't pull that into this. And I do think that what I'm hearing from you, Brian, is that throughout the Bible, I mean, it's the underpinning of everything about the Gospels, about the Old Testament, about everything. I mean, it is this constant forgiving. And also, I think, you know, forgiving yourself and letting some of that, like allowing forgiveness, it really is a reciprocal ebb and flow, right? Of not just giving it, but receiving it. Because that's, I mean, we should do a whole other podcast. How do you receive forgiveness? Because, I mean, God knows I need to be forgiven of so much. If you were to, as we kind of wrap this up, and you look back on your life, not just your solo years, but just in general, and I kind of know your answer, but I'd like you to talk about it, even if it's again, but what's been the most rewarding part of your process to forgiveness?
Oh, getting there, right? Mm. And maybe you still have to circle back and repeat and work on stuff, but when I have reached a place where I'm like, I have not dwelled or obsessed about that, whatever that is, for a long time, and I have reclaimed an enormous amount of energy that was consuming, and I have hope that there is a forward, I feel freedom, and that's a theme that I've kind of circled back to, not necessarily on purpose, but I think that's why forgiveness is a command, like as opposed to a suggestion or here'd be a good idea. and that we saw that lived out in the life of our Savior, and it's modeled like as he's being nailed to a cross, which I can't even fathom, but that's what's happening. And so it's modeled for us. Like, who's going to top that?
Right.
And so he's not only commanded, but then modeled it in a way that we don't have any way to go, well, you haven't faced this.
right.
Because it is the way to set ourselves free. Like, it is a gift. Mm. Forgiveness is a gift. It's not like this thing that we have to force ourselves to do. As long as we won't think it's an event, it's a one-time thing, as long as we know I'm living in forgiveness, this is a process for me. Mm-hmm. This is where I'm at today. But I'm not going to stop because this is never, not this event, but forgiveness is never not going to be necessary. So I'm living in forgiveness and I'm in the process and I accept where I'm at today. Mm-hmm. Then we're moving toward freedom. And I guess that's long answer to a short question.
No,
is
so
freedom is the goal,
right?
Yes,
right. Isn't because we don't want to feel like this anymore. And we're trying to either take medicine or have multiple conversations or turn to alcohol or whatever. We're doing whatever we can to get away from that
and numb out.
Or we could go towards forgiveness because that will actually work.
Mm. And it's not just for the benefit of who you were giving it to, but it's freedom for yourself,
right?
And that's why it's so important. Mm. Brian, thank you for being with us today.
Yes,
thank you for having me, guys.
I love having conversations with you, and thanks for sharing your wisdom.
I appreciate it.
Kim, that was such a good conversation.
It really was a great conversation.
We're talking like he's not in the room.
I know. But it was a great conversation. And I'm going to tell you where I suddenly feel freedom is in that there are no steps. It's not an event. And maybe that's what I've assumed growing up.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like that right there in itself is freeing. This is just a daily walk, a daily forgiving, this is the journey. And it's not a three-step plan. And that's okay. And man, the freedom in that alone on the journey towards the gift of freedom, Jesus is breathtaking. In the way he takes care of us and his kindness and his mercy and grace towards us. And that's how I feel in this conversation today.
Yeah.
His mercy and grace and kindness that he would allow us to walk in that every day. That is beautiful.
It is beautiful. I, along with you, I mean, I think a lot of times, especially if you've been brought up in the church, you think about forgiveness as an event or a word that you say.
Yeah.
Instead of living into it. I mean, there's only one that is able to forgive and that be that, and that is God.
Yes.
But as long as we're on this side of eternity, it's going to be a process for us because we live in a broken world. And so as Christians, we're biblically called and commanded to forgive, but that does not mean it's an event that takes place. And I, like you, Kim, that it's been helpful for me in, in realizing that today.
Yeah.
Were you going to say something else?
I was just going to say I'm almost 50, and that's the first time I've ever heard that.
Wow.
You know?
Yeah.
Just, it's never too late.
That's very true. That's very,
to
very
learn
true.
And to walk.
And it's so funny. You know, we come into the studio here to talk about God's faithfulness and the things we've learned, to try to help other people. But every single time.
Every time, I know.
We get together, it's like I'm learning a little bit more and a little bit more. And so we're grateful that we've had an opportunity to do that. And listen, I want to encourage you as you're listening, if you want to dive deeper into this topic and any topic that we talk about, just know that 7 days a week, there are groups happening around the world where you can plug in. Literally, if you download our app, and it's, let's say, Monday night at 8 o'clock, click a button and you're in a group, and Elizabeth leads the Monday night one, or I lead it on Friday. I lead one on Friday. There's someone leading a group 7 days a week. And we would encourage you to dive into this, not just with other people, but with other single parents literally around the world. So if you download our app, you'll have access to that immediately in the palm of your hands, wherever you are, along with this library of podcasts and our daily devotions and all kinds of other things, including an in-app chat where you can talk with other single parents from around the world. So I highly recommend that you do that.
I do too. And we just are so grateful that you just would listen and be part of our family. And we just love hearing from you. We love this journey with you. If you haven't already, do subscribe now on the new Access More podcast platform or wherever you get your podcasts, because we just don't ever want you to miss an episode. And don't forget to rate this show, because in doing so, that helps put us at the top of the search engine for other single parents to find help and hope. And can I just say also, like, I know I'm emotional today, but we just really love you. And Jesus just really loves you. And he's really good. And he's walking this journey with you too. And so, just glad you're here. Just glad you're here. That's all I have to say, Robert.
That could be an entire podcast. That, and because it's so true, we are so grateful that you join us. Mm-hmm. And if you think about it, leave a comment on social media. Yes. Stay in touch with us. We do check that all the time. And so reach out on Facebook or Instagram. Mm-hmm. In the meantime, I would just like to leave our time together with our guiding verse, which we read every single week because it is so foundational to everything that we do. It's from Isaiah 41, verse 10. It says, "So do not fear, for I'm with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. Mm-hmm. I will strengthen you and I'll help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Thanks for being with us, and we'll see you here again next week.